Hello there, wonderful listeners to Foundation Radio. This is Christopher Fogwe, welcoming you to another one of our special editions of the program, Who is Who in Business and the Professions on FM 100. Today we're going to be delving again into cutting-edge science. But before we get there, we'll want to see something about the background of our guests, Mr. Divine Asongwe, who was here on a previous edition, and who talked to us about nanotechnology. Let's know how he got into science in the first place by getting into the inclinations that took him in that direction. Divine, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for having me this morning. Well, when I was a young man, a child growing up, I always wanted to know how things function, and I was never satisfied with the methods that were given to me, the explanations that were given to me. I wanted to look at the source of everything, how it worked, right, where the energy, that force of everything came from. And that has been my principal motivation. I never really knew what I was looking for, but I just felt something was lacking, and I had to keep on searching. And I think I still have to keep searching, however, but I have a direction, some way to go right now, focus, not just searching haphazardly. That is what goes on now.
You are working from the very scientific part of you, which raises questions and finds answers and solutions to them. How do these apply in the everyday activities that surround you?
All around us, we have processes going on that we cannot even begin to imagine how complicated they are or the significance of them. And we just take them for granted and never really sit back and observe. One of the things that is the most difficult thing to do for the human mind right now is consistent thought. And we are taught to think in specific ways that are a repetitive manner of thinking, which is not creative. And certain aspects in us, they become dormant. When I look around me and I look at the things that are going on, I am forced not to approach them from the standardized, accepted, given, repeated methods that are promoted for us to move and research or solve problems in standardized ways. But I have to look out of the box. There, if we have, we were successful in solving the problems that we have, then the situation would not be getting worse as it is, because if you look everywhere, there is much more suffering, there is war, there is strife and enmity amongst us, and it's deepening and going further. If we were successful, then those problems would be reducing and not increasing. This therefore demands that I look into my society, look in my community, and look into that light of God, trying to be in touch with God by listening to that force that makes life, that gives life, and seeing how I create and fashion things in a way that it becomes much more conducive for the human society in which I live, which is me and everybody else.
Let's come down to something really concrete. You studied in Sacred Heart and studied in the Germany. And you are back in Cameroon. But even before you came back to Cameroon, you have been doing a number of things that reflect what you studied. Can we know in concrete terms what activities you have been doing in life? You are very young right now, but you have done quite a few things that have had implications felt outside of Cameroon. What have you been doing?
Well, what I did primarily when I immediately finished, I did a lot of software programming. And this was modeling day-to-day scenarios or processes that take place in a given setting, let's say in an office room or in an industry. And I would look at these processes and look for a way that I could make it a lot faster, cheaper, more reliable. And I model it into a computer language, then change that into computer understandable code or language, and then give it out in such a way that the normal day-to-day user can interact with and make their lives, which make their lives better in terms of their working efficiency. Then later on, I moved into interconnection, interconnecting various offices with independent communication over satellite technology. Then these satellite technologies were linked with either data communication and voice communication. And that was when I started moving away gradually from that, because I realized that I was working with inanimate objects, and I would spend, I would get up at 4 a.m. and I start working till midnight again. And at one point I said, but what is it that really is giving me satisfaction? What is it? What is the impact that I'm having? And certain things happened in my life that were like God sent, really, because they propelled me in the direction in which I am right now, which is research in health and nanotechnology. So that's what I have been doing all this while.
Now, in the times when you were working on satellites, what kind of people benefited from what you did, and in what kind of form?
A lot of people benefited from it, diversified. First, the certain companies, for example, we had a company like the SCDP that supplies petrol, where they store petrol or petroleum products in Bafoussam, in Yaoundé, and Douala. And up north, they have these huge tanks there that, first of all, pile up petrol there or fuel there, and then later on distribute it to the various stations. They needed communication, that is to interlink, to have their own backup and permanent reliable communication. This had to be done over satellite. Then right down inside of Bamenda here, what I did was we set up a satellite system when there was no optic fiber network, no MTN internet access network. We set up a link via satellite and we could communicate over that, and then we distributed it to the general public over a wireless network. So at that time, when people needed such services, and though they were pretty expensive at that time, but at least we were able to make them available. I did it with partners of mine, and that is what we did at that time, and that is what people benefited from it, really.
And now you say you have switched from those activities that related you more to material to the ones that relate you directly to people, and specifically in the area of health. How does nanotechnology apply to that?
Yes, in my search for, I would say, fulfillment, some that deep down fulfillment inside of me, I realized that I couldn't have that fulfillment by working with computers for some network gadgets and cables all day long. And I lost a brother. My brother was very ill, and I took care of him for a couple of months. And I was really angry at how it devastated my entire family, and I looked and I saw that in every family they have gone through such experiences. I mean, really horrible psychological traumatic experiences, and what is being done about it right now is not good enough. It was not good enough, in my opinion. So I said, well, but even if I'm not of this field originally, but I have the research background, I have the ability to look at things and come out with a solution. For knowledge, education should not be limited by being specialized in a particular thing and restricting myself that I am going to do only that one thing. So I got courageous. Actually, it was scary at the beginning. I said, but what am I doing? I have been trained in this direction and I have been walking in this direction. I should limit my views in that way. Having bypassed or surpassed those limitations, I delved into nanotechnology by virtue of saying that what was the best thing right now that I could do practically within my mental abilities that would benefit people, at least help them in their ill health and be affordable, be readily reproducible, be tangible, that you can see it working, but not some concocted method of pumping chemicals inside of people's bodies left and right and all that. And I coincidentally met somebody who pointed me in the right direction. I met this professor in Rome, and this professor, he pointed me in the right direction, in the direction of nanotechnology. And I was really excited, really. And for like 7 years today, I have been building various versions of so I call them atomic reactors, not to confuse that with atomic energy, but rather reactors that would produce these nanoparticles, and programming these nanoparticles in a way that would recognize the human cells, but would recognize also the unwanted organisms in the human body, and knowing how to eliminate or destroy these unwanted organisms in the human body while also enhancing the growth of human tissue. So that is what they've been benefiting from, really.
So how do these compare to white blood cells?
Yeah, that's right. That's a great question, really. In a way, they have similarities, because the way white blood cells, they function mainly by oxidizing pathogens, engulfing them and removing them from the bloodstream. So what the nanoparticles also do is that it's a process of, though it's an electron transfer principle, but you can see similarities in the method of oxidation and the electron transfer, because the way these particles, they work is that they destroy surface enzymes by electrocuting them, seizing electrons from these pathogens on the surface and destroying the various enzymes that are responsible for their respiration, thus destroying them within a matter of a few minutes. So the action is actually not a matter of it being capable of destroying them, but being careful, because they are so effective in destroying these pathogens that you start really slow, because you can destroy all the pathogens in a human body all at once. That is very bad, because the body will not be able to remove all the mycotoxins that are then dumped inside of the bloodstream, the debris henceforth decays thereafter. All of that is dumped inside of the human body, and we have just a certain elimination capacity in the human body. You can either throw something up, you pass it out, you pee it out, you sweat it out, and if all of those elimination methods are overloaded, then we have a very big problem. In the scientific term, it's called Hexheimer, but that's what actually that means, is just that I am not able to remove debris and toxins from my body as fast as it is necessary, as fast as the debris is being produced. So we start slow and move gradually higher inside of it.
Is that method one that works sort of like a catalyst to what is already happening in you, or is it something practically new?
I would call it mimicking or imitating the way that the human body already works. For nature and God has had eternity to design that system. And I do not think he made a mistake. He could not have made a mistake, because the complexity and the beauty of it, when you look at it, and the intriguing way constantly, what we simply did was copy those methods, because instead of redesigning the wheel afresh, we said, but how is it doing it? How can we repeat it in a way that it would be as efficient as it is, and also support? So they work in concert with each other, actually, because when you're destroying them, it is the system that is removing it. So I call it actually giving the body a second immune system, as it is right now. So you're simply providing that person with another immune capability.
You must be finding some fulfillment in what you're doing right now to people. How does it come out? In what kind of shape?
Well, quite amazing, really. There is that. Like last year, last Christmas, I got a call from some young man who took these nanoparticles about 2 years ago. And he was wishing me New Year and Happy Christmas. And I think when I receive these calls from them, it is the most satisfying thing, because when you give somebody the health back, actually you are doing that service to yourself, not even to that person, because it enhances me, it makes me better. So when I see them getting better, irrespective of that, it is not a very well-known method of addressing ill health. When I see them get well and I hear from them thereafter, it's a wonderful experience. There is nothing that describes it, no way.
What had he been down with that you rescued him from?
Well, this young man, he had a kidney infection, and the kidney actually failed. And he was in really bad shape. He was bloated, swollen white, and he had been in a coma for a month. And these nanoparticles, I classify them, they are nutrients. They are, I must stress that they are natural, so that it's a natural substance, actually. So I gave it to him as a supplement, actually. It is a supplement, not as a supplement. It is a supplement, because some of it is already inside of the human body, and I simply add it and change the form of it. So he... In 3 weeks' time of exposing him to that, he was back in school, and years on, he has not had a single problem in that direction again.
Had he been receiving previous treatment before that?
Yes. He was actually on dialysis because he could not remove the water from his body efficiently through his kidneys and all that. So he was on dialysis, but that was not doing the trick, actually. It was a long-haul process, which he would have come through but it was proving difficult since he had been in that state for a month. So he was on treatment, but they solved it. It got rid of the problem within a matter of 3 weeks.
AIDS is very much of a concern with people all over the world now. Have you done anything in trying to deal with a problem like AIDS?
I think that is it. HIV is the first thing that actually moved me into the research direction, because we have this endemic problem of HIV here, and we are waiting for the solution to come from a long distance away. Yes, I have looked into it deeply, extensively, and I have been having very interesting and promising results from HIV patients. What I mean by promising and interesting is that it has been possible to make them and bring them, keep them really healthy. I mean, extremely healthy. When you look at their blood values, I mean, not to go into the technical details, but when you look at the main thing is, are you fine? Are you healthy? Are you sickly? Are you living a quality of life that you deserve as a human being in God's world? If that is happening, I think that is the essential thing. So what I've been having with HIV patients, particularly those for whom the antiretrovirals are no longer effective, is that they have had a refuge in having an alternative that helps them and has been helping them considerably, not just a little bit. I mean, major league, big time.
What exactly do you mean when you talk about antiretrovirals no longer being effective?
Now, I must be a little bit technical on this one. The HIV virus isolated from person A is different from the HIV virus isolated from person B. It deviates. It has 9,000 times 9,000 times 9,000 times 9,000 base pairs, that is, possibilities of being different. So, as time goes on, there is mutation, that is, there is change taking place. The virus becomes another thing, something adds onto it, changes onto it, and then the medication that was targeting a specific property of that viral particle no longer works for a given patient, and then that medication has to be changed. There are different antiretrovirals available, and they change them from one to the other, and at some point they give a concoction of a multiplicity of these antiretrovirals to the patients, and they eventually also become resistant to that. And then what? We then pump them with antibiotics, hoping that opportunistic infections will not come in. Particularly, antibiotics like Bactrim is given to them continuously, with harrowing side effects for some people, really. So that is what happens, you know.
And then you pick up from there by doing what, by introducing what, and how do they feel thereafter?
When I give the nanoparticles to these patients, they simply take a teaspoon of it or a tablespoon of it, so once or twice a day. It's not as strict as antiretrovirals that a patient must take every day. What happens is I have invariably noticed, so long as there is no physical internal organ damage as a result of the previous infections inside of the body, so long as that is not available inside of there, what I've noticed is that they regain their health very rapidly, although they still test so antibody positive in the hospitals, in the various labs. But what happens is that they become a lot healthier and they are free from the opportunistic infections.
Have you had any situation or a case where you were actually surprised, maybe, to find out that they moved from positive to negative?
Well, that is a very difficult question to answer. Difficult in the sense that how do you prove that somebody is HIV negative? And actually, am I ready to delve into proving that somebody is HIV negative, because of the ramifications, and not just in the medical field, but the financial ramifications. There is so much to it. So I don't lay that claim of getting rid of the HIV virus, but I would rather say that I have had really promising, interesting results come back.
These people who are listening to us probably would like to know where you are situated and to find out from you directly if there is anything you can do for them.
Well, location. What I have been doing is I have a research lab, not a diagnostic lab. My research has been my own, financed by a few people, actually three people who have been financing it, me inclusive. And so I don't have a diagnostic lab, nor do I consult people. But if somebody stands in front of me and I see that I can give him a supplement, it is within my constitutional rights to give some supplement to a person, which would help that person. So I operate from my research lab, actually, which is located in Funchess Street. Well, it will be more to Mile 3, between Mile 3 at Farmer's House and Funchess Street. Actually, that's where my research lab is located. And people can always call me. I don't have anything against that. I can always be reached by telephone.
What are the ingredients you use in your research lab?
Well, first of all, one of the things, the observation methods that I use dark field phase contrast microscopy. This is instead of the light microscope that is used in a diagnostic lab, I use a different type of microscope that would observe the human blood live as it is, without adding chemicals to it, waiting that those chemicals would react in a specific way, and then I see that the blood is infected with some organism. But rather, I observe how the blood is by removing, most of the time I pull my own blood, actually, and look at how you can differentiate. This is these are red blood cells, these are white blood cells, these are various organisms inside of the body, or follic formations that are inside of there. And I see all of that life then. So inside of my lab, also have laser generating devices that are used to observe particle dispersal ratio or concentrations inside of given liquids. I also have things like total dissolved solid matters that would tell me in milligrams that is the weight of what I have given, of what I have put inside of a particular dissolved substance like distilled water. I have distillers, of course, to clean up the water with it, and a host many other things.
You talk about nanoparticles. These are particles of what? What substance?
All right. Now, these are a multiplicity of substances, really. I am not restricted to a specific substance. Since they are natural, this substance is something like, take a substance like copper. Copper is a supplement in a specific form if it is given. So to the human body, we need it. We need iron. We need a certain amount of gold, actually, inside of our bodies. So human semen has been isolated from it. And so I use these substances in purified forms. They have to be ultra super purified. I mean, I would say like 99.9999% purity, because when you take a piece of metal, give it like copper, it has a lot many other impurities and actually poisonous impurities inside. So I get most of these substances from companies abroad who are capable or who have the technology to purify metallic substances. And I give them my specifications as to how I want them pure, and I buy it from them and use these various metals.
Do they come by mail, or do you have shops in town here where you can find them?
No. Nobody, they are not available in town at all. I mean, at times I would send them over DHL, and if I have somebody that is traveling from Europe or the US coming to Cameroon, I also get them do that for me. At times I would order them using my Visa card and have them delivered to either a classmate in Canada or my brother in the US or a brother in Germany, and they would then look for somebody who's coming and they bring that over to me, because they are pretty expensive, so I minimize risk by being certain that the transport or the way that it comes to me is at least guaranteed and secure to a certain extent.
Do they come already in nano form, or do you have to strip them down to that size?
No, they come as base particles, as base elements, actually. So they come in various forms. It could come as a wire. It could come in a circular form, like a coin, for example. Mm-hmm. It could come in those forms, and then I have to take them now and then strip. Strip them right down at certain point, right down to atomic particles, actually. And once they are in that so small form, then I also further strip off electrons from them, and making sure that particle size is of a particular particle size, because the main thing is, if these things are in large particle sizes, they are not absorbable. If you take a piece of copper, for example, even though it's pure and you swallow it, you are going to pass out a piece of copper after that. But if you strip it down to those basic nanoparticle sizes, then the body is able to absorb them.
Do you combine them, and if so, on what kind of a logic?
Yes, I do combine them. But when I combine them, they have to be particulate matter. What I mean by particulate matter is that I don't program them, because when I program them, they can react with each other. If you have a charged substance, for example, and then you introduce another charged substance inside of that medium, you have a multiplicity of possibilities that can happen. You can predict them, but they might not be so optimal. So when I mix them, what I do is I make sure that I have reduced them down to base particles, particulate matter, and they are inert. When I say inert, I mean they don't have react with each other or the medium in which they are, but they become activated once they are inside of the human body.
From what you're saying, it means you never expect any kind of side effects.
Absolutely not. So long, the side effects would be as a result of poor quality of production. So long as quality of production is assured, particle size is small, I have never, ever had any side effect in terms of some buildup of a substance in an organ in the body, or in terms of some reaction with some other substance inside of the body, because these are things that are already inside of the body. So how do we get them inside of the body? We get them them from plants, and our topsoil has been completely eroded, so we don't have this nutritive foodstuff that we are supposed to be having by industrial farming, repeated farming, and the use of chemical fertilizers and all that. We don't have these minerals and that are inside of that are needed, are supposed to be inside of our vegetables that we eat. So they won't react with anything, since I'm simply adding the quantity of that which you already have inside of your body and changing it a little bit. And once they're inside of the body, they regain their structure. The way that they regain that structure is by destroying pathogens, then they become stable again.
Let's have your phone number given to our listeners so that if they want to call you and ask a number of questions, they can do so freely.
Yes, my number is 7775-0796. That's 777-50-796.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have been listening to a wonderful display of new ideas by our very good friend, Mr. Divan Asongwe, who is going to be a very regular guest on Foundation Radio, because I love his ideas and I would love to continue to talk with him about things that still are to be disclosed, including his work with satellites and a number of other skills he has developed by being in Germany for 6 years and by studying what he loves personally rather than what he wants to have as a means of generating cash. He is self-sufficient, no doubt, because his skills can enable him to earn, but he is far more of a caring person, to a point where he is actually treating a number of patients free of charge. True or false?
Well, that is true. If somebody stands in front of you, he can't afford anything, and you know that you can do something about it. Talking to some lady yesterday in the afternoon, I was pretty angry at her, and she didn't come to see me because I had given her a month ago medication free and she didn't have money to come back. So I said, did you come back and I didn't give you? You should come and not feel afraid or ashamed that you can't meet up with it. I think the main important thing is that you are fine because you are me and I'm you, you know.
Well, since he'll be back soon, let's say goodbye for now because our time is up. And we've had Mr. Mukum Johnny Nelson operating the outfit that recorded us on this program. Until the next one, this is Christopher Fogwe saying so long.
Thank you very much. It was very exciting being here today.